Hi. I am going through some changes in the way. Actually, I feel like I am quite responsive to the woman in my life, and I'm really quite present with her and acute to her body language. And I'm finding that actually, I get too involved with it and I lose myself a little bit and I lose my direction. And I have a goal, which I'm quite clear about, and there is a point there where I lose my confidence in myself to achieve that, and I let that go, and I become too focused on the woman in my life, and that I want to change because it doesn't feel good for me, and it doesn't feel like that I am living my potential.
You're right.
And I'm not sure how to move beyond that.
Is this your only night with me?
Yeah.
So you're not going to be doing a workshop with me?
No.
Oh, let me use the always present Alan. So Alan, would you come up here and would you come up here and would oh, I'm just going to do this really quick. A lot of people here have worked with me before and they know this little exercise, and I'm going to give it to you so you could do it for the rest of your life. And you could get what you want. How about Amy, Sabina, and Keisha, if you'd come up here? You could stand up too. And stand right like this, and Alan, if you'd face him. So stand a little closer and look into his eyes, and Alan's looking into your eyes. And what he's going to do, you could keep facing him as I talk to you, is he's going to feel how clearly you could stay on your goal, which is what you're describing. How to stay on your goal when you're being distracted, when you're feeling women, when you're feeling a woman, right? So your goal right now is just to make Alan feel you totally present with him. So we're just reducing your goal to being totally present with him. Is he doing a pretty good job right now?
Yes.
Okay, good. Is Alan doing a pretty good job or is he drifting? Okay. If Alan drifts, hit him on his arm like that. And is this arm okay if he like hits you on the shoulder here? You don't have any injuries or surgery or something that we wouldn't know about. So just so you're not afraid to do that, first hit Alan just so I know you know how to hit him. It should be hard enough that it calls you. But So he's going to do that if you get distracted, and you're going to do that if he gets distracted. And what I'm going to do is ask the women to do their best to distract first you, and then they'll do Alan. Alan's easy then. So they're going to first. So Alan's practiced this a little longer than you, so he might catch you longer, but I have a feeling you're pretty good at this, and I'll pay you extra if you hit Alan. So you could feel. Now this is a training. It's like you're training to run a marathon, or you're training to shoot a rifle, or you're training to do anything. It's an actual training. Presence can be trained, and you're doing really good right now. But this is the easy part. So keep present with him, and you could hit Alan if he drifts. Girls, why don't you distract Alan first? Just do anything you want, you know, within rules. And smack Alan if he drifts. Be careful not to hit a woman. He's still present with you? Alan's still present. Okay, stay with him. Stay with him. Is he still present with you? Is he still present? Okay. Okay, ladies, go to our volunteer. Stay present. Stay present with Alan. Try to leave Alan room to give him a hit. So. Okay, now, ladies, if you'd stop for a moment, he's actually doing better with your distraction. Now. which most men do. Most men respond to challenge with their fullness. So what we're going to do is fine-tune it. You keep looking at Alan, and I'm asking you a question, though. What does your...
You missed me then.
Very good. Very good. That was excellent. He just got out. For those of you who couldn't hear him, he hit Alan because Alan didn't notice that he drifted. So fast learner. He doesn't do well under praise, but he is. So... what does your woman do? Like, what emotion does she do, or what does she talk about with you that tends to distract you from your goal? And we'll have these ladies do it. So what kind of thing does she say? And don't hit him while he tells me.
Well, she's... we have a lot of passion in our lives. That is clear.
But what does she do that distracts you?
She's leaving.
So when she says she's leaving, it distracts you? What distracts her?
Women
rejecting you?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay.
There's a point of trust or a commitment that I do feel on a moment to moment thing, but I'm going to lose that. And I know that because she has plans to go, and I don't know where that's going to go, and I don't know where our relationship will go from that.
But you could choose moment by moment to make that commitment, and she could take it or leave it.
Yes.
So what we'll do is we'll have these ladies come to you and walk away and come to you and walk away and talk about how they're not interested in you and that even though you're committed, they don't give a damn, and they'll do that, and you just try to stay present with Alan. Okay. Give you a few seconds here. So ladies, imagine you are his woman leaving him and try to give him the feeling of being not good enough for her, that she would choose another direction besides his. Just bodily feel that, makes sounds. You could say anything you want. And you could go back to hitting each other now whenever you drift. And begin, ladies, whenever you want.
I love you. You're just not strong for me. I'm not really knowing you're going after all.
Much better than you. You don't know what I'm going to get to see you later.
Another guy I'm interested in anyway. I just haven't admitted it.
Now, the less you drift, the more these women find you irresistible. They're going to feel your presence. It's their present.
You're
don't listen to anything they say. Just stay totally present.
You're not enough.
Now turn to the audience and give them the same degree of presence you're giving Alan. Just give them that presence, just like they were Alan.
I always wanted more. He's not very certain about himself, is he?
Stay present no matter what they do or say.
Yeah, I think I'll get one too.
Stay present with them.
You're just weak. Spend too much time.
Mama's boy.
Puny, skinny.
They're highly trained bitches. Stay present. Stay present with the group.
Oh, look how well he's doing now. Gee. Look at that smile. No, me get it. No.
Okay, now ladies, raise your hand if you feel that you could feel him really doing his best to be present. Raise your hand if you could feel that. Okay, raise your hand if that's an attractive quality for you in men. Now stay present with them while they're doing this or not. Okay, so... you could have any of these ladies if your lady leaves you, if you remain this present. Okay? So now look at Ellen again, if you would, please. And you could thank each other however you want for offering that service to each other. And now, when you sit down, just totally ignore these ladies. Just sit down. You don't need them. Give it back to him. And thank you, ladies, for being excellent bitches. So even though that was a kind of simulated circumstance of a specific practice, the same gesture is what you will now for the rest of your life hopefully practice with whatever woman wants your presence. So you stay totally on course. If your decision is to spend time with your woman, you're totally with your woman, 100%, just like you were with Alan, but hopefully a little different than, you know, you're touching, you're feeling, but that present. When you're doing your goal, whatever that is that you describe, you do it with that same presence, and you let a woman choose, that's the train I want to get on. That's the direction I want to go. His direction is where I want to go. So she comes to you and she says, yes, that's where you're going is where she wants to go. And that's your offering. Your distraction from that in like, oh, please come back, instantly would make a woman not trust you. Yes, ladies?
Yes.
So even though she wants to know you love her, If she thinks that you will collapse without her, you become useless. So she has to feel your total love, and you'd barely notice if she disappeared off the face of the planet. Simultaneously. Absolute investment into her, feeling her completely, feeling every nuance of her body, every nuance of her emotion when you're with her, obviously not like at work necessarily, but when you're with her, feeling every part of her, guiding her entire life, listening to her, getting her feedback, feeling her, offering her deeper, taking her where she wants to go, where she needs to go, where you know she needs to go, taking her beyond where she would take herself, always offering her that, always doing that to her. And if she decides to walk, you know,
her loss.
Just get the dust off your shoes, back on track, and another woman will go, huh, my turn, and will come to you. Or she may turn around. It might just be her way, and this is frequently the case, of testing just how present you are. I mean, what a better way to test a guy than to... See, the feminine is exquisitely attuned to your weakness, and she'll know exactly how to collapse you. And you'll just suddenly find yourself... It's kind of like she sucks the very essence out of you. Do you know that feeling? Like, and you're like, you were strong a moment ago. and the feminine has that capacity if you do not allow yourself to remain present like you were just practicing. So if you get distracted from that offering of your presence and instead need her, if you need her at all, she hates that feeling. She loves the feeling of you loving her, but not needing her. And if that happens to be your particular weakness or your particular hook, which it may be, and other men's too, but everyone has their own unique way, all she wants to feel is your depth of consciousness. The only way she could be sure that it's deep consciousness is by testing your weak link. And she will repeatedly test your weak link. And every woman you are ever in relationship, you're relatively young, so I'm giving you a little advance warning that every woman you will ever be with for the rest of your life will test your weak link over and over and over and over and over. The same woman, even if you marry this woman or the next woman and it's 30 years down the line, and let's say you've strengthened that weak link, so now it's like you're Mr. Present, and she's like doing all these things and you don't waver at all. You're just totally present. She will still do it because her pleasure, and this is what men hate, but they have to understand to love it, to honor it, is that her pleasure is in feeling that she cannot collapse you and therefore she can trust your presence. Because if she could collapse you, the feminine can collapse you and she can't trust you. So the only way she could feel how present you are is by doing what would collapse you. Now, to you, that's a pain in the ass. I mean, to the masculine, you're like, the reward I get for being present is her attacking me more, or her leaving me, or her not being interested, or her, you know, whatever hooks you. Go ahead.
Aside from our interaction, I don't feel good about that. And that's actually the point.
You don't feel good about
collapsing, or, yeah. You know. Yeah, aside from the interaction that I have in a relationship.
Right. It's a weakness.
Yeah.
That's fine. So stay totally present with me and say, I have a weakness.
I have a weakness.
I'm amused by it.
I'm amused by it.
That's the proper relationship you should have to your weaknesses. You know, do something about them, but they're amusements. How many women would rather your man treated his weaknesses as an amusement than like... Okay. So, you don't deny them, you know. She's more aware of your weaknesses than you are, so you don't have to worry about her knowing where they are. She's already aware of them. So she needs to feel that you're fully aware of them. You're doing everything you can about them, if necessary, because like this practice is something you can actually practice. You can get together with men and friends and smack each other. You know, in cultures, some cultures they'd use swords or in various martial arts. I mean, it's much more than
that. I like that.
So you could cultivate that presence. You could practice it, add all kinds of distractions to practice. You don't even have to add them. She'll add them for you. You know, practice that and be amused by your failures. I mean, learn from them, but instead of collapse, failure, amusement. You're going to fail. The only way to learn is to fail. And then correct, fail, correct. So you better be amused by your failures, because the more you grow, the more moments of amusement you'll have. So you could even say that out loud as a practice. So when you find yourself not liking your weakness, out loud even, just say, I'm amused by my non-presence. So what else are you amused by in yourself?
Pussyfooting around.
Say, I'm amused by the way I pussyfoot around.
I'm amused by the way I pussyfoot around.
What else are you amused by? I'm amused by...
I'm amused by the way I waste my time with it, entertaining myself with stupid ideas like that.
It is rather amusing, isn't it?
A waste of time.
It's amusing, though. Or you wouldn't do it. You are being amused by it. You're being amused by your own weakness, or you would not sustain it. You're being amused by your own thoughts. They're your own thoughts. I mean, you're going like... thinking there. I just thought that one. It's like a boomerang, you know, that you throw and it comes back to you. They're your own thoughts. So whatever you're doing is clearly what's amusing you. You don't have to do it. Right? You're doing it to yourself. It's like me going, I have a problem. I collapse when my finger's in my ear. Do you have a recommendation?
Take it out.
Well, I've taken it out before, and when I do it, I get hurt, and I'm afraid to take it out. It's really quite a problem. Now, wouldn't it be better just for me to be amused by the fact that I have my finger in my ear? And from that place of amusement, which obviously I'm entertained by or I wouldn't keep doing it, even if I act like I'm depressed, it's clearly something I have a choice. It's as simple as taking it out, right? The only reason I'm not taking it out is something about it's amusing me. Another way of saying that is something about it is essential to my sense of self. If you weren't a weak, depressed, pussyfooting person, what would you have to do that you don't want to do? So you're amusing yourself with your own depression, with your own collapse, with your own pussyfooting around.
Procrastination.
Say, I'm amused by my procrastination.
I'm amused by my procrastination.
I choose to procrastinate.
I choose to procrastinate.
I enjoy procrastination.
I enjoy procrastinating.
I'm going to procrastinate until I'm sick of it, and then I'm still going to do it because I'm going to act like I'm ready, but I'm not. Something like that. Now, when I look out at you, this is kind of what I see. After a while, it gets ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, wouldn't you do almost anything to get me to take my finger out of my ear at some point? I mean, doesn't it begin to just look like a bad trip of some kind? So the first thing to do is not to take it seriously, because obviously I'm taking this quite seriously or I wouldn't continue to do it. So you have to relieve me of the necessity of this whole trip. So amusement is a good stance to take. So you might want to say something like, David, that ear feel good? You know, kind of entertain my problem for a while, you know. So start talking to me about my problem as if you actually have a concern, but add a little humor, you know, so it becomes clear that it's not necessary for me to keep my finger in my ear, so try to talk me out of it.
Are you looking for something?
I don't know why I'm doing it. It just happens. I thought if I had a different woman in my life, or maybe I knew my purpose, I wouldn't do this anymore. Hello. Can you help me? It's not that easy, is it? You have to, it's quite amusing, though.
Very funny.
Well, that's all you're doing.
You look like a goose.
Now, if I really wanted to take my finger out of my ear, there's nothing stopping me, right? No. Same thing with your pussyfooting, procrastination, all of that. So as long as you're doing it, you're choosing to do it. So you might as well admit it to yourself and to everyone else because they feel you doing it anyways. So if I just say, I'm going to stand here for a while with my finger in my ear because it's amusing, it's much better than if I deny that I'm doing it. Finger in my ear? Oh, no, not me. Like, you know, you always tell me that. No one else tells me that. I think it's your projection. And this is how you feel to your woman when you don't just directly know what you're doing and admit or stand as you are. You know, so say, hey, I'm pussyfooting. I'm stuck here. This is the way it is. I'm enjoying it. When I'm done pussyfooting, I'll stop pussyfooting. Are you done pussyfooting?
I get moments of it. No.
Are you enjoying pussyfooting? At some part, some level of you, enjoying
yes.
it?
Yes.
I'll make you a deal. I'll take my fingers out of my ear if you'll take responsibility for pussyfooting. Just pussyfoot as long as you want. And when you're done, stop. And until then, don't bother other people with your pussyfooting. It's your amusement.
Yeah, I've had enough.
Okay, now feel how relieving this is. If everyone here would just stop doing the thing that they're doing, that they're waiting to stop doing for some reason, everyone would sigh a collective heave of relief and we would all just combust in delight.
Hi, David. Good to see you. I guess my issue in my life currently is around finding that gift, that deepest gift. And I remember a couple of years ago when I worked with you, you were saying that for a man to find that, he needs to get rid of all distractions and sit under a tree somewhere for days, weeks, until it just pops up.
I said one way to do it was to eliminate distractions and comforts so that the intensity of not knowing your purpose just grew and grew and grew and grew and something came from that, yeah.
I was wondering if you'd come up with a shorter version.
Yeah, something less than 2 years would be good, I suppose. Well, what have you done, you know, since I've seen you last? Have you fiddled away your hours doing anything extraneous?
I've started another family.
Pardon me?
I've started a new family.
You started a new family. Mm-hmm. That sounds major. Mm. But that wasn't part of your purpose? You just kind of randomly started a new family while you were trying to find your deepest purpose?
Basically.
Ouch. Okay. So now finding your deepest family, your deepest purpose is going to involve your family, obviously, I hope.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, that's why I suggested sitting under the tree. I mean, usually actions that we do that aren't emanating from our sense of deep purpose, and a family could certainly be part of your deep purpose. But if you just do things that aren't part of that deep purpose, you'll eventually come to feel a kind of resentment towards those parts of your life. even though you did them and they're your responsibility, because they didn't come from your deep purpose, it'll feel kind of like baggage or unnecessary responsibility to you. But in fact, you chose it. So that's why it's really important, or I would hope, to act from that place of depth. So all of your actions come from that place of depth. It's going to be much more difficult if you've created a family that wasn't from your sense of deep purpose, because now you have them to care for also. So it's going to be your deep purpose is going to now, by necessity, hopefully, involve your creation in your life, your family. I'm not sure what else to say right now.
Well, I guess I'm probably not the only man here that would have, you know, issues around their deeper purpose or gift, and whether you felt like elaborating on what you suggest men to do.
Well, did you do what you repeated earlier? How long did you do nothing and just feel your sense of lack of purpose?
About 24 hours.
Okay. Well, it usually takes several weeks to several months, you know. Often a month of that would do it. But now you have a family that needs to be taken into account, so that might not be even possible at the moment. So when I made that suggestion to you, it's not a 24-hour kind of thing. It's, you know, it took Jesus Christ like 40 days, 40 nights in the desert. You know, you try to do it in 24 hours. Now maybe you're better, you know. It's a real thing. It's a vision quest. And you can't have any distractions of any kind, or your mind will use them. Like we're talking about with this fellow up front about his pussyfooting and so forth. You'll create something just so you have a story to follow of your life, and and like my finger in my ear, which I don't want to do again so I don't injure anyone else. Thinking is only, you know, you're like putting out thoughts and you're thinking them to yourself. It's just like putting your finger in your ear. Now, there are occasions, like if your ear itches, it's good to scratch it and then it's done with. But to keep touching yourself to convince yourself that you're there is essentially why you're doing it. And then you do it habitually. So everyone, I don't know if you've ever been to an insane asylum other than Byron Bay, but there, people are like constantly repeating things and touching themselves in ways and saying the same thing over and over and doing mechanical habits over and over. Now, if you just put a fast motion camera on all of us, it would look pretty much the same way. There's a guy like 10 feet in front of you chewing gum, repetitive motion over and over. This guy next to you like scratching and moving his head. And so these are all ways that all of us affirm our existence. It's like, I'm here, I'm here, I'm still here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm still here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Now, that's so blatant that if you just did that, they'd put you in an insane asylum. But for some reason, they don't. When you go, what's my purpose? 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 That they let you get away with. What's my purpose? Fuck, fuck, fuck. What's my purpose? Fuck, fuck, fuck. What's my purpose? Fuck, fuck, fuck. What's my purpose? Smoke, smoke, smoke. What's my purpose? Smoke, smoke, fuck, fuck, fuck. Smoke, smoke. What's my purpose? What to do? But, you know, 2 years go by. I could probably tell you everything you've done, you know. So you need to feel somehow, kind of get under the feeling of what you're doing, rather than relaxing so sufficiently that the only motion that comes from you is from at your now time deepest sense of purpose. That might deepen over time. So you're adding a bunch of things, it sounds like. Thoughts, actions. Why? What is it that you would only... Why did you only go 24 hours, if I understand you correctly? Why did you only go 24 hours? What happened at the end of those 24 hours that you went, well, I'll just do this action. It's not my deepest purpose, but I'll do it. And I'll do this one. And I'll do this one. And I'll do this one. And 2 years goes by, and you're asking the same thing you asked then, and I kind of gave you the same answer then, but you only did it for 24 hours. But the key is to find out what you did at the end of those 24 hours. So you, maybe we could give you a practice to kind of wedge you from doing that again. Do you remember what you drifted into?
I guess I felt I made a start and to sort of go back into life and come back to that point. But I realized that there's a challenge of discipline, I guess, of commitment to finding that and to stay with that and to stay with that. Obviously, there's distractions of all kinds.
Sure.
And I find myself choosing those distractions rather than staying with the discipline.
Right. Mm. So what distractions did you choose?
Pussy.
That's original.
I mean, the feminine.
Yeah.
Whatever. Dance, right. Out, you know, smoking, you know, or just being with my children and having a really good time.
Right.
Going to the beach, et cetera, et cetera. And
So it's the feeling of doing all of those things didn't hurt you too much, it sounds like. You were able to do them without collapsing in despair. You know, you were, yeah. Right? No one would do the discipline of discovering their deepest purpose unless they despaired enough of not living it. So that when you hit that moment of despair or that moment of disillusionment or the moment of feeling lost, you could either collapse or you could realize it's time to take the next step and go deeper in discipline. Renounce the distractions and take the next step. Instead of backing up from despair into the distractions, notice that despair is because you're already distracted and take the next step. You could do it right now. In fact, you must do it right now, but you'll only do it right now if you're actually quite despairing of the situation of your life. Now, don't collapse into despair. Go, I'm despairing. This sucks. Life sucks. It's not fulfilling me. Nothing's fulfilling me. And realize that you need to find what's deeper than what you're doing. You need to actually feel what's deeper than anything you're doing. So right now, there's a part of you, is one way of saying it, there's a part of you that's deeper than what you're used to allowing yourself to feel. Can you feel any part deeper than what you would call your average deepness of the day? Okay. So can you feel now you have a choice? You could attend to something deeper, or you could attend to something less deep. Okay. Well, that choice, the discipline of your attention, eventually, and you do it out of despair, because attending to things brings you to despair. If you merely attend to the things of life, you will despair. They do not fulfill you. They do not fulfill anybody. So you attend to everything in your life. You come to a place of total despair, hopefully. And until you do, you'll just keep attending. And nothing I could say or anybody would help you, because you'll just go, well, I'd rather do it. And you'll keep attending. But you'll get to a point where attending to those things are horrible. It just feels horrible. Your life feels horrible. The things aren't horrible. You might have a fine family and a fine house, you know, all that. But the whole thing feels horrible, existence, life. And that moment, then, you could go, okay, and feel a deeper part of you, which is really a deeper part of existence, than what you're attending to. It's deeper. You might not be able to describe it in words. It just feels deeper. Now, you'll pop out of that if you don't despair enough of the out of that. You'll keep popping out. That's the nature of this place, that it's built of exactly what will distract you from God until you recognize everything as God, so you can't be distracted. At this point, you've identified your family, smoking, drifting, all the things you've done as not God. And so you despair. So far, so good. Go deeper, go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. Feel deeper, relax deeper, relax deeper, relax deeper, until you're finally relaxing so deep, you're actually relaxing into the source from where attention comes. So you're attending to things, and eventually you allow that attention to relax into the source from which it is emerging. Because nothing else is worth attending to. It's just too painful, basically. It doesn't get you what you want. So eventually you simply no longer need to attend to events. You can attend to the source of attention itself. And when you allow your attention to relax in its own source, then you realize that all of this, everything, including your family, is a display of that source. There's no difference. This is the source. And then you don't have to make the masculine gesture of allowing your attention to kind of move back into the source, which to women feels like a cop-out, but you need to do it. So that you're going to experience despair by allowing your attention to move to distractions, allow that despair to relax your attention into its source, really remember the despair you experience when you allow your attention to come out of the source and attend to objects, people, places, things, events, drugs, whatever you're attending to. Allow it to relax back into its source as deeply as you can. Continue that process, and at some point, as you're relaxing into or as the source, you'll realize that all of this is still here, that this is the source. At that point, everything you do is your deepest purpose because you're moving constantly from that source. So spontaneously, you're acting your deepest purpose because all your actions are emerging from that source. Now, that might take 10, 20, 30, 40 years of practice for you to be able to do that. It might happen in a fraction of a second. Most people take decades of practice. It doesn't have to be, but most people do. So in the meantime, while you're allowing that practice to occur, also just feel into the deepest place you can for now and build your life from that depth, and that's your deepest purpose for now. So right now your deepest purpose will obviously involve your family, but also maybe doing some kind of artwork or doing something for money or creating some project that helps people or whatever is your deepest purpose now. But in the end, that won't fulfill you either. So you'll have to relax attention from that endeavor and until there's no motion outward, or there's no motion, period. There's just is. It's just useless to do anything because nothing changes when you do it. That's the essential masculine realization. This isn't for the feminine. It's for the masculine part of everybody. The essential masculine realization is there's nothing at all that needs to be done because there's nothing happening to begin with. This is just the source appearing almost randomly. It's a spontaneous appearance of the source right now. This right now. This and this and this and this. It's a spontaneous appearance of God's ass to your face. It's kind of like you're going, and then you forget about your ass for a while and then you look at it. And finally, it's just one hole. You don't have to look at your ass anymore. It's just all that already. There's no gesture of having to locate where you sit. You're rested as it. But that takes serious practice because by tendency, you think that by attending to things, you'll be able to do something that will fundamentally change your life. There's that illusion. If I attend to writing a book, if I attend to creating a family, if I attend to earning money, if I attend to serving others, if I attend to whatever you're attending to, something will come of it. But all that comes of it is more coming of it. There's just stuff happening. And eventually you just go, this is not fulfilling. And it isn't. So allow attention in those moments of despair to relax into its source, the literal source of attention. Just feel, where is attention coming from? Locate the source of attention. It's something I can't tell you. It's something you have to feel. You're attending to something right now. My words are this room. Where is that attention coming from? Well, just relax there. But you'll only do that when you're tired of attending to this, when it no longer moves you, and then you'll spontaneously just rest as attention. But to get to that point, you might need to wear out some of those tendencies. And one of the biggest ones, and it's the first one you said, is sex. And that's why, and that's the only reason why, I work so much with sexuality, because for most people, it's the key reason they don't recognize this as God. They don't recognize this is God because they need to touch themselves. God needs to, you know, remember what I started talking about? They're like the insane asylum. Well, God has to affirm its apparently separate existence sexually. That tends to be in most people the tightest knot. And so for a lot of people, when you help unravel that knot, if you would unravel that knot in your life and you would realize that woman and sex gets you nowhere, but not just mentally realize that, like your body no longer, I mean, desires and things still move, but you don't think they're going anywhere. It's kind of just like you're watching the clouds and they move. You don't, it's not a problem, but it's not anything, basically. So, but most people make a big deal about their personal sexual lives, their romantic life, their intimate life. It's like only when I meet the man of my dream, or if when I've got this one, but I'm attracted to this woman and I really don't know about commitment. I mean, they create these huge, you know, you create these huge things that really are just attending to something that will never end. You're just attending to a process of motion. And you follow one little piece of that motion, like the head of your dick, and you think that that's like going somewhere, but it's essentially a random motion. It's been set in motion by your genetics, by the astrological configuration at your birth, by random happenings. You know, a car hits this person, they ended up at the hospital, and when they come out of the hospital, you meet them as they're walking out the door, you go, hi there, and you start a relationship. Now you have a family. All of that was just these coincidence of events, but you think it's like a story that has an end or has a resolution or will one day get to a point where you won't have to deal with it so much and then you'll really do the spiritual practice. You know? So, but at some point you just realize it's doesn't go anywhere and you despair of all of life, of attending, giving your attention to anything. And then attention just spontaneously relaxes. And if you will allow that sufficient relaxation, which is quite profound, and you allow that sufficient relaxation long enough, because you'll keep popping out, at some point you just recognize all of this as that source. And then you're always living your deepest purpose. Until then, enjoy the despair and take it as a signal that you're attending to something less deep than you could. Okay. Is there anything else or something left? So when I ask you that question, notice you're attending, like you're looking, it's a sincere thing. It's not a criticism, but notice that you think that if you find something and ask it or live it, something will change. That's the moment I'm describing. They'll come to a point when I say, do you have a question? You'll just look at me like, why the fuck would I bother asking anything? Because this is fucking useless. At that point, you could recognize it as God instead of needing it to be something.